Blair and Martin in the Secular Foxhole. Today is episode 44, and Martin and I are going to do our own show. And I want to, since a hero of mine, James Madison, his birthday is March 16th, and he was born in 1751. And he is a hero of mine because he wrote much of the founding document. He wrote several of the Federalist Papers. And he wrote something that we will link to in the show notes called Memorial and Remonstrance. Remonstrance means protest. That's a loose meaning. About at the time, this was 1785, they were debating. They had a bill in the Virginia Congress that they wanted to pay teachers of the Christian faith. And being a man of reason, he opposed that. And so he started writing editorials against that bill. And it's called Memorial and Remonstrance Against Religious Assessments. And this was June 20th of 1785 when these started to be published. And I just think that for those of us interested in the separation of church and state or religion and state, as Martin and I are, that this particular document should be front and center. And along with, John Locke, his letters of toleration are very good. His mistake was that he speaks out against atheists. But otherwise, I think even Madison's memorial and remonstrance is loosely based on some of that work from Locke, although I'm not 100% certain that's true. And I wanted to give a couple of quotes from Madison himself during that time. And here, religious bondage shackles and debilitates the mind and unfits it for every noble enterprise. I mean, what does Ayn Rand say? Faith and force are corollaries. So it's to reason and freedom. And let's do another one. Strongly guarded as is the separation between religion and government in the Constitution of the United States, the danger of encroachment by ecclesiastical bodies may be illustrated by precedents already furnished in their short history. Well, of course, today we have a cabinet-level office of the faith-based initiative. So this is how far we've sunk as a country. And the conservatives now have let you know, while the founders prohibited a litmus test, today's conservatives virtually demand one, especially over the issue of abortion. Let's see here. Let's do another one. And I have no doubt that every new example will succeed, as every past one has done, in showing that religion and government will both exist in greater purity the less they are mixed together. Again, a man ahead of his time, so to speak. Martin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, and I will have a question to you, but you had another quote there that you wanted to take, right?
I think let me look around. I can always do another one.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anyhow, no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. This was James Madison in 1836.
Wow, that's a good one, because we will talk more about, how it's going with our show and our so-called ad hoc campaign. I mean, we could put it out here in the universe, because
yes,
we have some planning, some things in place, and now I will have a sip of tea here. Cheers.
Go for it. Cheers.
For me, I mean, we talked about that in other episode, what's real money, and we could talk about the fiat money and the coins, but some coins could be in gold and silver, and that's real money, but that it's stating there, in God we trust. And I think that shouldn't be on the money, because it's a symbolic thing. So when you say this, could we rally around this? Because when I searched for this, and when you said Madison here, and you had Jefferson and some others that didn't put the label on themselves. But after that, the whole list is Christian. And then you have different, version of that. But if you go to Wikipedia there, religious affiliations of presidents of the United States. And in other countries, you don't talk about that. You could have your personal belief. But in America, it's very important, so to speak, it seems to. And even that, they have this separation between church and state, or church and religion. And it's a private and a personal matter, right? And
that's well, what it used to be.
Just talking about Thomas Paine and having a statue for him and so on. So it used to be, but even back in the day, they had to say which belief system they had publicly, so to speak. Then, of course, it was some debate about it and so on, but they had to do that. So it's something that I'm thinking about. Why is that the case? And you said this about the litmus test, especially with the conservative Republicans. And that's why I think, you know, other alternatives, then they don't focus on that at all, what I know about. So.
Right.
But then you could have another, you know, you could believe in other things also. But that's for another maybe episode. But it was some reflection for that. These quotes about religion that you did very good. And then a PBS show that talked about God in America and James Madison. Because wasn't that the case that we have to see it in a context also. This was a long time ago. That he had his personal beliefs and he didn't want to talk so much about it. But when he did it very straightforward.
Right. If I remember correctly, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but I mean, back then, since they were influenced by the Enlightenment era, at the fading embers of the Enlightenment, they realized they knew enough, regardless of their personal beliefs, what would be good for every human being or every American, and that is to leave everyone free to. And in many ways, I wish they went deeper than, you know, freedom of religion. I wish they would have emphasized freedom of conscience.
Yeah, and we have talked about with guest about that, and I think that it's a good step to take the first, but then the other one, it could be a bit maybe complicated and difficult to grasp and understand in a way, but it's important role, and that's why this sliding door, or what you call open door or not, the shut door or the wall between religion and state. And especially with presidents like Ronald Reagan and others really open it up for
Sadly, they did, yes.
Yeah. Religious right, and they were very. Now we are, and we should be in a way see positive signs also. Now they can't call themselves moral, so-called moral majority, because they are not majority any longer. And I see as a positive sign, very
true.
Positive sign. But then, of course, it's depending what are you believing instead. But that's another question we could talk about. But so great, we should commemorate him. And do you have any suggestions on, like, because I link to the Library of Congress also. Do you have any suggestion of literature, books, or his writings?
Certainly, the Federalist Papers, for sure.
Yeah.
But certainly those three things, I think the Memorial and Remonstrance article on founders.archives.gov. And then the Federalist Papers, and of course, the name of his estate escapes me in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But when we find that out, we can link that as well.
Yep.
And so, yeah, those three or four things I think would suffice.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah. Again, his birthday is March 16th. He was born in 1751. Passed away sadly in 1836.
Mm.
So, what was it? Is that 85? Pretty good.
Yep.
And but again, he's one of my personal favorites of the founders.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm leaning also towards Hamilton after talking to Richard Salzman and one or two others.
Yeah.
So, but those, I mean, they're all great men.
Yeah. And that it could happen again, but, you know, it's some work to do.
Yes, there's a lot of work to do.
Yeah,
but the groundwork was laid by Miss Rand. So,
yeah, correct.
That's the key.
Yeah,
and what else were we going to do? We were going to do a new sandwich.
Yes,
I think. And always a hat tip to Amy Peacock for that idea.
Yep.
And I want to talk about this story came out in October of last year. Blue Origin, which is Jeff Bezos's private space venture.
Mm-hmm.
It's the headline is Blue Origin and Sierra Space Developing Commercial Space Station. New orbital destination opens up space for business and travel, creating new ecosystem. And it goes on, this article goes on to explain that these two companies, Blue Origin and Sierra Space, they announced plans for Orbital Reef, a commercially developed, owned, and operated space station to be built in low Earth orbit. The station will open the next chapter of human space exploration and development by facilitating the growth of a vibrant ecosystem and business model for the future. I mean, I could go on, but that's pretty good. And this article that we'll link to has great photos of the proposed way it'll look like. So I think that's certainly the good part of our new sandwich. It's a beautiful rendering of this, the station right at the top of the page. And what was my other, keeping in line with people that apparently love to be hated, along with Jeff Bezos or Bezos, Elon Musk and his Starlink system, is that's being added to daily, I believe, as far as the links or the satellites being placed in outer space orbit for internet and many other capabilities. So again, that's he's bypassing Go ahead.
Yeah, could our show then be listening in outer space then in the future?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so. I want to be the first guy to go up there and broadcast it from space. How's that? Yeah. If I live long enough, that is. Ha, ha, ha. But anyway, Starlink, although I think the initial cost is fairly steep, I'm sure that that will go down as if the market is allowed to operate. That will reduce over time for the middle class and so on. I think it's like $500 initially to get the equipment.
And then it's a monthly.
Probably a monthly fee after that, which I do not know how much that is. But I'll look into that and get a link. And we can add that to the show notes. So there's a couple of good things. And then I want to the partial bad news, and I'm sure you'll have your own. But the here in America, at least, the backlash against the Bezos launch with William Shatner and things like that, and Elon Musk and Richard Branson is, of course, our Hollywood celebrities, or at least a few of them, have complained about why aren't you spending that money on the poor and things like that. The typical...
You could do as a certain politician, you could tax the rich and sell a T-shirt. She has her own T-shirt shop. I wonder what she does with the money she gets from the T-shirt.
She buys her own clothes that are very expensive and high heel shoes and things. But and then something I'm disappointed in, Ford Motor Company itself, along with Lincoln Mercury, have come out denouncing these renegade billionaires.
You don't get the picture. You know, that was the same thing with horse and buggy when the Ford and other come up with the idea. Invention.
They don't even know their own history now.
No, so they have to learn from the history. And they could complain whatever they want to do, but
as long as
it's free to do it, then we could discuss other things that maybe in times of today, what's going on, what you should focus on maybe. But entrepreneurs could do whatever they do, and it will then so-called trickle down, maybe it's not the correct word for it, but we will benefit for it in different ways.
Absolutely.
So I definitely think they should go along. And people could, of course, have their opinion, and it's often this symbolic thing and PR, all this, spin doctors that doing their thing. So
sure. Yes. But... I mean, as far as I'm concerned, those three men are benefiting the human race. They're offering a value for value, which is something that you and I have been talking about.
Yeah, that's a good segue, talking about Bezos segue. I don't know what's happened with that one. You know, that was the thing that would revolutionize everything, this mobile thing. But segue, but it's spelled in a different way. But that's a good segue. So value for value. We could talk a little about that. What's its value and what's it worth to listen to that things that Blair digging up good news and some not so good news, but together we are ending on a positive note. And also, I mean, inviting guests that have their knowledge and share that to listeners and to ourselves, of course, and giving intellectual ammunition and fuel for our souls and spirits, and also a freely, voluntarily exchange of ideas. And for example, you mentioned Rand. So when she went to Ford Hall Forum. That, I think, was open for to the public, so to speak. But, of course, they had some kind of donation box or how you could support if you valued the talk and the information and, you know, giving yes. your a boost
yes.
With that. So, and you do it for the long run. So that's what we are doing. So we will be open and talk about a little bit about downloads and where we are, where people are listening and so on, and how you can support, because we, you know, not take for granted, because we never do that, but this call to action, but we don't want to write anything on, how do you say, on their nose or on the forehead, or we don't want to beg either, or we don't want to have any sacrifice, but if you see this as a value in one way or another, then you could act accordingly. And that could be, for example, suggest it to a friend to listen to our show. It could be that you follow our podcast with our own standalone app, for example, that we are paying money for every month. It could be also that you join our new digital town hall and speaking up your mind or sharing some good stuff that we have. And everything of this is in the show notes. But I wanted to come back then a bit about value for value, because I think it's accordingly to the trader principle in action. So if somebody listens, we have some kind of value that we think, our time, our energy, and also cost to running this show. I mean, it's not like a big studio, a big TV network or radio network. We could do it in a pretty simple way, but still it's cost involved, right?
Yes, there is some cost.
And we would be happy to cover this in one way or another. And that we thank every, you know, entrepreneurs and businessmen and others that create these tools so we could reach out here.
Absolutely.
People and thinking individuals could listen to us. And that's because if I would say, for example, you said Bezos and Amazon, if somebody would say, could I read that book of Madison? Nobody would say, is it for free? Right?
Right.
They want to pay for it. Then, of course, they could have special deals. We have had, I mean, we could tell that to the audience also. I mean, we have had the privileges to get like review copies of books and other things like that. And we thank the authors and publishers mm-hmm. for that. Mm-hmm. But it's a marketing thing also. It could be priceless to be on our show. We know we are really very realistic. We are small, but we have our niche.
I believe we do.
And we have been very thankful for the constructive feedback and positive comments and so on. But some of it we are sharing, you know, privately. And share that, yes. and that give us our boost. And sometimes yes. we get it publicly also in different ways, and like in on social media and so on. But then you could say then, what kind of value is it? And then now with the new, you could say, development of podcasting or the podosphere, you know, we know the blogosphere or the blogging system that have evolved. And now you could, if you want, if you listen, and also fellow podcasters, you could download a new podcast app. And we will try to get our own standalone app working with that also in the future. But that's depending on, you know, the programmers and the developers there, if they see
right.
the potential. But something called, if you do the hashtag new podcast apps or go to podcastindex.org and search for these apps, there you have Podcasting 2.0 initiative. And with these apps, you could find all kinds of interesting features. It could be transcript, it could be timestamps and so on. And it's working with these RSS, rich site summary or really simple syndication. So people who develop new apps could put things into this RSS feed that could make it possible to, for example, then stream Satoshis. And Satoshi is a small, tiny part of a Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
So then you could decide when you're listening to us using a podcasting 2.0 app, but I want to boost this, what Martin and Blair are saying right now, I like very much. I want to send like 100 Satoshis. And that's like a couple of cents or something like that. Or you could decide every minute I listen to this interview with a guest, For an hour, we could say, I want to stream so and so many Satoshis per minute. Mm-hmm. So it's an active choice to do that. And you have to, of course, hook up with a wallet that we talked to with another guest, how that's working. And that's often including in the app. And then you have to add funds with fiat money in order to, you know, get bitcoins. And this will take time because, to be realistic, of 4 million apps out or podcasts out there that Podcasting Index is stating, it's like maybe 4,000 podcasts that are having this possibility, opportunity to support them with value for value. So it's a small number right now, but I see mm-hmm. that for the long range. And we could take it for another aspect also. This could be like power and support for indie podcasters and this freedom right. of expression.
Right.
So that's important to do. So we will talk more and more about this. But if you go to the show notes, there you could find some links and some instructions. And you are welcome to reach out to us and ask how could I do. But I could mention, for example, one app called Fountain App. So there it's one app that you could download to your smartphone, Fountain App.
Okay.
And I included that in show notes also. And if you want to use in a web browser, in a Chrome browser, like a plugin, then you could use an app called PodStation. So,
I think I've heard of that one, actually.
Yeah, that's two examples there. So do you have any thoughts, comments, or ideas about that, Blair?
Well, I don't. We should tip our hat to Captivate also, Martin, because yes. I'm glad you discovered them. And we market our podcast through Captivate. And if you and we send it out and when we post our podcast on various places like Facebook and what have you, once the listener opens that podcast up and looks at the page, at the bottom they'll see the donate tab,
yep.
where they could donate any amount that they wished. Because
have that, people doing that via Patreon. As it is now, it's for my account and also this Buy Me a Coffee that we have.
Right.
buymeacoffee.com/Lyceum, and we'll have it for the show also. But that's
yes.
great to have that call to action in the player, like a reminder, a friendly nudge and a reminder. Because
well, yes,
to take this call to action. So, yeah.
Yeah, we're very selfishly asking for, if you think you've gained a value or benefit from listening to our shows and you can afford it, consider donating whatever amount you feel you can give.
And or invest or thinking, like, for example, like one of our returning guests.
It would be an investment, yes.
Yeah. Clarkons did. He sent some then buy me coffee as me as a tea drinker. I drink coffee also, but he donated free teas to me.
And that's great.
Tea,
yes,
like $5. And I will play around with this, and then we have for the show also. We could set up, like, you could do it on a regular basis. It's working with our tech and with our equipment. But if we had funds, then we could invest in equipment and other things also, so it could sound even better and all the possibilities. I mean, we have been talking about live streaming and video and all kind of things, and also to be secure in the future, to have
right.
backups and so on. And there it was one example that on podcastindex.org called Tally Coin or something like that. And I've sent them a tweet and asked if we could embed that widget on your upcoming site there. Because then you could decide if you want to send a donation through dollars or euros or whatever, and that will then turn into bitcoins and satoshis. And then it could be openly if you have a goal or a project. For example, I sent you an email with an example of somebody that needed to get like a refurbished computer for their podcasting. And then they saw the goal and how we reached, and people could make comments and thanks for your support and thanks for your work and so on. So that's something we could look into in the future. But we know right. also the challenges to do it, because people are busy, people have their lives to do and achieve their values. But we will continue with our friendly reminder about this.
Yes, exactly.
So, and talking about that, we will talk about, you said, Captivate, the hosting company here, on their analytics page.
Yes. I like the looks of that. I mean, I saw those numbers. It's kind of neat.
So I will tell about that since we last then talked about it.
Yes, please.
Do a show. So all time, it's about 2,200, you could say, unique listeners, and they have an algorithm to look at that. And that's according to an international advertising bureau standard. They could calculate or they could, how to say, measure it. Then it's a download is a download. It had to be a certain amount of time and in a certain way. So, you know, they get rid of the bots and they get rid of if it's some mistake or something like that. But of course, you have to always take it with a grain of salt. I mean, our show is to, if we find one individual, one thinking individual that listen to us, we are happy, right?
Yes, true.
And that's the thing. But and then in total, it's like over 4,000 downloads so far. And if you look
insert,
at
insert massive cheering.
Yeah. If you compare it with other things like radio networks and others, maybe it doesn't sound a lot. But if you think about it, it will gather like 2,000 unique listeners to our digital town hall, but it will be a physical town hall, like in Boston. For example, at Ford Hall Forum. That would be pretty impressive, right?
Well, it would be, yes.
So then it comes down to our, and that's the trend is your friend. So the download average per day is right now 9. But of course, when we publish an episode, I could see already then automatically because people are now subscribing, but now we are calling it following because if you say subscribe, many think it's you pay to for it. Right.
Okay.
But it's free to subscribe or follow us. But then we know that we have a certain amount of subscribers or followers that have it in their application. So they get a notification. Now it's a new episode. And then you have this average about around 9 every day. And my goal is to have like a 0 behind that and then another 0, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But that will take time. But it's every new individual that take an active choice. And then the individuals will listen. Then if you ask a friend, send a link, whatever, if you think it's a value and you think somebody would appreciate it. So do you want to hear a little about the stats?
Stats, and more stats. About the list of the top 10 countries.
Yeah. So last month then, around 28 days. So because you have to see it in a rolling, like the trend. Because it could be, you know, peaks and it could be up and down and so on. But the latest 28 dates is pretty interesting. So there I have some ideas about how we could market. There we have United States of America, number one. And then it's Sweden for some reason. And then Australia, it could be guests, it could be others, right? Netherlands, that's interesting. That we have to figure out who in the Netherlands. And then United Kingdom. And there you have, we had been spotlighted on Captivate, like one of a show at a month that they spotlighted us, highlighted us. So maybe some of her at the hosting company or some fellow podcasters there or customers listen to us. And then you have, of course, Canada. That's pretty, you know, natural.
Yes.
And then India for a reason. But we know that, you know, India is a big market. And
yes.
We have some ideas how we could reach out to more Indians in the future, maybe have a specific episode on how it be a secular individual in India. And then Germany, and then Switzerland, and then Uruguay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Could that be with South America with objectivism and because when we had Rand's Day, for example, in February, when I searched on that hashtag, it was lots of action and tweets in South America.
Yeah, they are growing down there. Yeah. They are.
So, and then
that's a pretty diverse list of countries.
It is. But in total, all time, I will not go through every 70. But
no.
We have now, since last time, I think it was around 50, I think. Now it's 70 countries.
That have downloaded our show.
Of 197 or 195 or 193.
Yeah, it's 197, I think, is the total number of countries on the air, on the globe.
And we talked about one country that is now not in these 193, but it's a country, is Taiwan, for example. So where we have some listeners.
Yeah, three listeners there.
Yeah. So, but there, the top 10 there, you could say all time is still United States. And then it's India, in total, and then Sweden and Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, Netherlands, Norway. So my fellow, you know.
Yeah, great.
And then Uruguay and then Switzerland. And then we have all kind of interesting countries here in the list. So there I see it's great to see that.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Around the globe. But we have more countries to... And again, depending on where we are, but we could see that there's an information. And if you have any question about that, of course, I mean, we are having it in English, and that's a benefit or an advantage in one way, right?
Yes.
But we have some ideas with talking about costs, and yes, but also exactly. A value, because I got that request from somebody. I mean, how about transcripts and how to... if you want, maybe you have hearing challenges or you want to read at the same time as you're listening. Now you could do that thanks to Vedio.io, Vedio, that I'm using. And that takes some time and energy also, but it's interesting how it's very accurate. And then you have that as a material for the future, Blair, for your future yes. blog posts and so on. But that's, I mean, for information, it's like that service that I'm testing out, it's $30 per month. To use that kind of service. So I see potential with a transcript because that's search engine optimization. You could True. Also use this service we are listening, but we could use the download or the episode and then transfer it to a video with, for example, our artwork. And then having it like subtitles or translated in, for example, one of the languages in India. So, mm-hmm. so there mm-hmm. it's very interesting things. And that then it comes to play to maybe have some backup to have that video at places like Odyssey and so on. And a hat tip to Jack Spirko that you told me about.
Jack Spirko, yes.
He's recently had Adam Curry as a guest. And we could include that in the show notes also if you want to learn more about podcasting 2.0 and this freedom of expression and also how to prep in today's world. And also, as Adam said, to find your niche and find your... Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should put that in there. We should put that in the show notes. Well, that's all I've got there, buddy.
Yeah, same. So, thanks, Blair, for this episode. And
you're welcome.
We'll celebrate and commemorate Madison here. And looking forward to feedback and comments and that you share the good word, spreading the good word. And then the call to action is to check out the show notes and then join our digital town hall.
So, true.
Yeah.
All right, sir.
Yeah.
I call it a wrap.
Yeah. Thanks, Blair. Cheers.
All right.
Talk to you soon again.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye for now.